Welcome back, everyone, to MX Asian American. Today we have Alyssa. You want to introduce yourself first to the listeners?
Sure, yes. Thank you, Karen, so much for inviting me to be on your podcast. Hi, everyone. My name is Alyssa San Agustin. I am a Filipino Chamorro American based out of Los Angeles. I'm 29 years old, and I am a boxing trainer and amateur boxer.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Alyssa, for coming on the show. We'll start a little bit with way back when, about young Alyssa. How and where did you grow up?
So I grew up in San Diego. I pretty much grew up when people say like it takes a village to raise a child, that's pretty much how I grew up. My dad was in the military, so he was always deployed, and my mom was still going to school and she was working full time. And so I had a lot of help from family members raising me. So my grandparents, my aunts and my uncles, and even some of my aunt and uncle's friends.
Wow. I kind of like, guess went through a similar sort of experience where my parents were also like really busy and working all the time. So they were just like, oh, I'll just send you back to China so your grandparents take care of you.
Oh, wow.
So I totally get that. So when you were growing up, like, and then going into like, I guess, elementary school or even into like high school, did you have any idea of like what you wanted to do?
I didn't really. I mean, I had a couple ideas, which obviously never came to fruition. I thought that I was going to be a teacher. I thought I was going to be an engineer, maybe a nurse. The engineer and the nurse idea kind of wasn't really my idea. It was like careers that I thought that my family would approve of. And so I just said that, yeah, I would be one of those. I did dabble into not really teaching, but I did work with kids for a little bit. Mm. And I do really enjoy working with kids. I think the only problem that I had with not becoming a teacher was kind of the way that school districts are run. Mm-hmm. So it's really awesome now because as a boxing trainer, I tell people I'm a specialist with teens and kids. And so I get to work with kids still and teach them boxing, and it's still something that fulfills that part of me that I really enjoy.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're basically still kind of like teaching right now.
Exactly.
You know, not in the academic setting. So what did you end up studying in college?
So I went to Cal State San Marcos, which is a school in San Diego. It's kind of a commuter school. And so I studied human development. I think when I enrolled, I was a psychology major. And then I learned that as a psychology major, you're mostly going to be in a lab and, you know, kind of just stuck inside. And I really enjoy like working with people. I'm a social person and I just like to be around people. And so I found out that human development was like psychology, except you get to be out and practicing it in the field. And so I switched to that. My emphasis was in child services. At the time, I was working at before and after school programs. And so, yeah, that's what I studied in college. And I still feel like what I studied in college and the experiences that I had in college still help with what I'm doing now, especially when I'm teaching kids boxing. I learn like a lot of skills to kind of practice with them and keep their attention. And especially like where they're at their age, I kind of know how to tailor my lesson surrounding whatever stage in their adolescence that they're going through.
That makes total sense. So like when and like how did boxing find you?
So boxing found me after I graduated college. I moved to LA and I wanted to get into like digital marketing and kind of like I had like this big dream of like being in film and like entertainment. And so I worked at a company called Jukin Media. That was my very first job. I was an intern. And that's how I moved to Los Angeles. I think I was barely making anything, but I was like, yeah, I really wanted to move to Los Angeles. I took the internship, and I shared a room with the two other people. And so that was kind of, my coming to Los Angeles story. But it was a viral video company, and I didn't exactly do what I wanted to do, which was create videos and learn how to edit and learn how to shoot. I was more of like watching these videos and learning how to describe them and tag them so that producers like Ellen DeGeneres or like Ridiculousness can find these viral videos and like put it into their show. And then from there, I kind of found myself in like social media and marketing and did that for a couple years. I worked at a 9 to 6 job, and I was barely making any money. I was making like pennies, and I had to like figure out how to make a living. And so I took a before school program job before that. So I worked 6 to 8, and then
Oh
I went
my
straight to
gosh.
my yeah I went straight to my 6 to my 9 to 6. And so I was doing that for a while, and I started to get really unhealthy. I was always tired, and like I was just sitting all day long. And so I started to get into really unhealthy habits. I felt really unhealthy, and I just knew that I had to get back into like something like fitness or something, and just like find a way to take care of myself. So I signed up for ClassPass, and I started taking all these classes, and I decided to take a boxing class. And I went into this boxing class. Everybody looked like they knew what they were doing. This girl, she like had Vaseline, and she was putting it on and wrapping her hands, and I was like, wow, I don't know anything. And I was really nervous, and I took the class, and halfway through I was completely destroyed. Like I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to finish, but I was really enjoying it, and the instructor super encouraging and really nice. And so I kept going. Eventually I just started to really fall in love with the sport. Boxing is a lot of a mental exercise as much as it is a physical exercise. And I feel like that was something that I needed at the time. And I was kind of going through like some growth, and where I was learning that I needed to start filling my cup, because I was filling a lot of other people's cup before my own. And I really needed to find something to do that was filling my cup first. So I was going to this boxing class every morning, first thing in the morning. And so it just really started to transform me. I was really self-conscious as well about my body at the time. And so I really wanted to use boxing as a way to like kind of change the way that my body looked. And over time, falling in love with the sport, I stopped caring about how my body looked and more of like how it was starting to perform. So it started to transform my mindset in a lot of ways. And so this was, I think, back in 2019. So it's almost been this month, it's going to be 4 years. And then 2 years ago, I decided to quit my full-time job and just dive like headfirst into boxing. So I became a boxing trainer, and I started to take boxing more seriously and started training to become an amateur fighter.
Wow, that's amazing. Just like the ability that you like saw that you were really unhealthy and like you needed to do something to change this, and like taking that initiative too, and also just like the reframing of your mindset, sort of. I also had body dysmorphia, and I'm sure like a lot of people do. So I think that's really incredible. I'm curious, like what. Was there like a moment or a point where that made you decide to quit your full-time job? Like, that's a really big commitment to make.
Yeah, so it kind of is like two parts. So I found boxing in May of 2019, and then in January of 2020, I went to the Philippines. This was right before the pandemic. I went to the Philippines with my grandparents, and it was the first time I've ever been to the Philippines. It's the first time that my grandparents have ever taken any of their family from the States over. All of their children were born here, so I'm third generation. And so it's their first time like traveling back home and bringing their family back there. And it was an eye-opener because my family over there is, you know, they're from like a province. And so it's a they don't have as a lot of opportunities over there. And I recognize that. And I saw like a lot of my young family members over there and just like the way that they were living. I spent a lot of time there just like thinking like about how them immigrating to the United States, like I have all the opportunity that I want. Like anything that I want to pursue, I can pursue it. And so I had the idea that I wanted to start fighting amateurly. So I started looking into that. I started getting more involved in the gym. I started in March the so a year later is actually when I started, when I decided to quit my job. In March, a lot of the Asian hate was happening, and I had a friend that I made from boxing, and we kind of started talking about our experiences and what like our family meant to us and growing up here as an Asian American, and how much our grandparents meant to us, and how scary it was that all this Asian hate was happening. And so we started something called Box for Change, to kind of bring like positivity to, you know, the Asian American community. Like it gave them an outlet, and also was something that was just bringing them like positivity, because we were also encouraging people to share like their stories and what they were fighting for and who they were fighting for. And so I started getting more involved in boxing. I started this Box for Change, and I started teaching boxing classes for kids and adults after my 9 to 6 job. I would just like sit in my desk when I wasn't boxing, when I was working my full-time job. I would just like sit there, and I would like watch boxing. I would like scroll through Instagram and just like, you know, find like boxing drills that I could do. And I was just like never present in my job. I was just kind of like so focused on boxing. And also when I was doing my work, like I would like my eye would start twitching, and I just realized that it wasn't something that was fulfilling me, and I wanted to do something that was going to fulfill me. And so I decided to just quit my full-time job and start the journey.
Yeah, that's amazing that like how your trip to f the Philippines was sort of like this like I guess self-discovery journey sort of, or like moment of realization. And then of course like in the time coupled with what was happening with the all the Asian hate, which is still happening, I think it's incredible that you even started like the Box for Change kind of movement or project. I want to know like ever since like you started becoming an amateur fighter, I'm not really sure what that really means, so you might have to educate me. Do you like go into matches and like sign up to fight and stuff like that?
You sign up for matches, and it's pretty much competing. There's amateur boxing and there's professional boxing. So with amateur boxing, it's run by USA Boxing, and you have to wear headgear, and all of that. And then the professional boxing is, you know, different. There's no headgear. So there's like levels, and I'm an amateur boxer right now, but it's pretty much competing and taking matches.
Yeah, I'm wondering like during your matches if I don't know if it's like based on gender or like or sex, but I'm wondering if you like have been looked down upon because you know you're a female boxer or like people's reactions kind of to your career and things like that.
So it is based on your gender. So, women fight women, men fight men, and then kids, the same thing. But yeah, it's funny. I was in the gas station the other day, which is next to a boxing gym, and the guy ringing me up was like, "You go up there, you box?" I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Why do you do that? Boxing is for boys." And I was like, "Girls can box too." So yeah, I definitely do get that. I get it a lot. Like, why do you box? Why do you want to mess up your pretty face? And stuff like that. Yeah, I definitely do get those kinds of things. My family still is trying to understand like why I do it. And so I feel like I kind of get it a lot from them. Like why do you choose to like hurt yourself and hurt people? And it's not, people say that think that it's violent, but it's not. It's you're like controlled and it's competing. And so, I'm still in that space where I'm trying to like get them to like understand and see, what I'm doing. I actually like a mini docu-series last year. I'm still waiting for it to come out, but it's pretty much about the gap in like our generations and how in trying to like get them to like understand my choice in careers, what I do. And I think it helped a little bit, but there's still every now and then are kind of like, don't you want a stable job? Don't you want a 401k? Don't you want health insurance and that thing? So it is a challenge more internally than it is externally, I think.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense. My family is the same way. because I'm a poet, which like they don't really know what it means, and they're just like, you will not make any money.
Exactly.
What was like, what has been your kind of like most rewarding, I guess, thing that you have experienced ever since like quitting your job and then going into this full time?
I think the most rewarding thing is this community that I've been able to find. When you're training for a fight, you need to like spar with you have your headgear on, your gloves on, and you're like, mimicking what it would be in the fight, and you're doing that. And so it was hard for me at first to find other girls to spar with and just to find sparring in general. And so I think the most rewarding thing is being able to find like a community of like other women who are really passionate. Also really passionate about the sport, and who are like-minded. I feel like I started late and, I always tell people it's never too late, but I do feel like I started late. And a lot of these other girls that I found within the community also started late. And so it's been really rewarding to just kind of find each other and then also have each other to like lean on and have support from, because one, it's hard to be a female boxer, and also it's hard to be like an older female boxer. Like a lot of girls that we end up sparring sometimes are a lot younger, and they started young, and they're already so incredibly talented. And so sometimes it can feel like an uphill battle. And so to have like other girls who are experiencing the same thing, and that we could talk to about each other, talk with each other and be like, oh, you're feeling that? I feel that too. And just knowing that, you have that support and you have that same understanding from someone else is really nice. So I think that's been really rewarding to find other really like-minded female passionate boxers.
So rounding out sort of the podcast, do you have any like near future goals for your boxing journey or your amateur fighting journey?
Yeah, so I it's also very hard for me to like get fights because it's also based on your weight and your age, and I'm minimum weight. So that's like the very smallest weight class. And so it's hard to get fights, but I hope I can get, you know, hopefully 5 fights this year. And then as far as like boxing training, I definitely this year want to focus a lot with kids, training kids, and also, you know, women. I think that this sport and finding other women that are very passionate about it, it is a place for women to be. And I know boxing is not always approachable. And so I want to help, you know, more women see that boxing is approachable and help them kind of be transformed by it.
Yeah, that's a commendable goal because I have been interested in boxing for a long time too. Just haven't had a chance to find a class. And also, like, I'm also worried about like the instructor and like if I click with them and things like that. Yeah, so.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I just recently started training this girl and her dad, and I was like, how did you find me? And she was like, you know, I really wanted another Asian American trainer that was a female. And she's like, my dad actually found you. And I was like, he's like, oh, this girl, she's Asian American, she's female, and she's, you should contact her. So it worked out perfectly.
Wow, that's so sweet, though. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and they're really awesome. And so, yeah, I feel like I've been, you know, getting a lot of experiences like that where, you know, people are finding me because they relate to me. And yeah, that's something that I think is important. Yeah, so I just want to make it approachable for, you know, women and kids.
Well, thank you so much, Alyssa, for coming on the show. Where can listeners find you online or connect with you?
Sure. So my Instagram is small underscore yet underscore fearless. I'll spell that out because it's not conventional spelling. So small underscore yet underscore fearless.
Yeah, it's kind of a play on words on your name.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you so much again, Alyssa, for coming on the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.